God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his finger, he didn't wink his eye. God spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View on AFR. I'm Todd Herman. Let's just open with a story that I think we're all aware of, and I wonder if it's God's top news story. I don't think so. God's top story, I think, is going to continue to be that salvation is available through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the church age, even in this end stage of the church age, it seems, although no one knows the day or the time, I got to think that's still the top story. On this, though, I wonder if we could apply the phrase, Jesus wept, because for this, six pro-life protesters face 11 years in prison, courtesy of the Department of something other than justice. Horrifying. Horrifying that they were singing outside of an abortion clinic and praying. The same statute under which the Department of something other than justice has charged and intends to perhaps imprison for these people for up to 11 years. That same statute can be used to protect pro-life centers, pregnancy centers, and churches. It's not been used that way, not once. Ever. But in this case, it's being used ferociously. It's important for us to recognize some factors in this world in which we live, where we live. We are in the world. We're not to be of it. There's been a discussion about this family in Montana who is apparently had their kid seized, their son, because he has decided he's a girl. And the parents have done the unthinkable. Utterly unthinkable. They said, no, our son is not a girl. Apparently, they've had their son seized. There's a law in Montana that outlaws gender mutilation of children. But as the people at the hospital apparently said, well, not social transition. So they began calling the boy by his female name. A note. This has been going on for nearly 10 years. I personally know 50 families who have had to flee some of the separate countries like Washington and Oregon and California to save their kids from this. One family had to leave the country because the separate countries of Washington would pursue them wherever they went. The fact that this has been going on for about 10 years, and in a serious sense, by that I mean in high numbers, a 2,000% increase. No, it wasn't. It was 4,000% increase in young women conned into believing they were boys. I ask you this, how did you not know? Well, because the media's most powerful tool is this, the propaganda of silence. They won't tell you. When you have been in the position of knowing your kid can be medically kidnapped in a second, you will never again have the same feelings about medical authorities. I've talked to parents who have faced this, and I am talking about parents who were prepared to shoot their way out of a hospital because their 13-year-old daughter was on the precipice of being medically kidnapped. And when I'm talking about prepared to shoot their way out, I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm stating a fact. That was about, in this particular case, about 5 years ago. And the dad who was prepared to do that to get his daughter out, he wasn't alone. He had two friends, former military, special forces in the parking lot, ready to help him escape. Now, no one wanted to take anyone's life, but his daughter was about to be medically kidnapped. Now, that didn't happen, and that family left that particular separate country. And no, I will not be disclosing their identities because that's their story to tell. There's a phrase I use from time to time as we examine world events. They would never do that. This was said to me in the time that this was all going on. In when I was doing local radio in Seattle, I was in an ill-fated partner show. I kind of knew it was a bad idea at the beginning, but I did it anyway. I wanted to try to bring some sense of agreement in a divided world. And during a program where I was talking about this issue of gender mutilation of kids, and the female partner on that show, Candy, said to me, "They would never do that. No doctor would ever do that. Not without years of study. You know these people. No therapist would ever do that. You know these people, Todd. Shame on you." And I said, "Candy, what does the phrase affirmation only mean?" "I don't know. But not that." There's so much in the propaganda of silence, so powerful. Pfizer has not been perhaps the worst actor. Well, in terms of pharma, I think they are the worst actor in terms of the COVID injections. And there's still a propaganda of silence on this. The media still will not address the fact that we're seeing record levels of cancer just after the injections were foisted upon society. And those numbers aren't going down. There's this. Moderna worked with the federal government to monitor you. They worked with not just the federal government, but global intelligence divisions thereof to monitor what you were saying. This was done in the person of a woman named Nikki Ruttman, who spent nearly 20 years as an analyst with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. What were they monitoring? Well, you were saying that you didn't want to get injected. We can't have that. So they spent government resources and expertise to figure out who you were. And it's not just who you are, but with whom you associate. Why would they do this? Well, clearly because they wanted to force people to get injected, but they would never do that knowing that the injections were harmful, except they knew they were harmful. Pfizer had known all along about myo and pericarditis. They hid those results. They knew about a majority of people dying in some of their control groups, so they hid that. They wanted 75 years with the FDA helping them to hide the data, just as for the past 10 years, governments, unelected bodies, as is the case in Montana, have been socially so-called transitioning kids secretly up to the point where the kid is absolutely convinced they're not the sex they were born with. After all, the doctors call them a boy. Only their stinking parents can't seem to come around to the truth. Yeah, I think Jesus weeps. And I know Jesus comes back as judge. And God forgive me. I hope he judges them so harshly. See, that's wrong. What I just said is wrong. I hope they repent. I hope they go to him. I hope they change. And I hope that the Lord Jesus will help me actually mean that. Because what I really hope is that they are faced with harsh judgment. Why? Well, because of stories like this. This is Steve Kirsch. Steve is probably a billionaire, I think. At least a many, many, many times over millionaire. Silicon Valley type, made a bunch of money, smart guy. He's a quant by training, mathematical quant. And so he looks into data. He did something very simple that you or I could do, in fact, is he, in the National Vaccine Information Center, went through and looked at the VARS data. This is the database that tracks injuries from the injections, the COVID injections, well, all injections, actually. And it's a voluntary database. You have to voluntarily go in there and spend time to do this. There's hospitals that said to their doctors, you may not report any adverse outcomes from these COVID injections. You may not put them in the VARS database. You may not do that, even though only doctors are required to do it. Healthcare providers are required, but the doctors said, the hospital said, you can't. Why? Because many of them got paid off to never criticize the injections. That's not, by the way, that's not me guessing. No, the money flow shows that. What Kirsch has discovered is that there are 998 cases where right after getting injected, people got dementia. How could that happen? Because with the other injections, say the flu vaccines, flu 3, flu 4, flu A4, hepatitis, HIV, HPV2, the numbers are below 20. In the case of the COVID injections, the numbers are nearly 1,000. And mind you, again, that's a voluntary database, meaning that people had to voluntarily go enter that. And many, many doctors would have told their patients there is no chance that this is an outcome of the injections. There's no chance that your heart attack was an outcome of the injections. There's no chance that your neurological issues, that your cancer. It cannot happen. It never happened because all too many doctors were paid off and we're back where we began. We're back up to the propaganda of silence. We're back up to they would never do that. They would never slam people in a prison cell for 11 years because they prayed and sang outside of an abortion facility, and yet they are. They would never participate in hiding the transing of kids, the gender jacking of kids, except they did, and they do. I was just recording an interview for my podcast with a friend of mine, Chris Bray, a wonderfully gifted writer. He lives in California and he's not going to retreat. You know what's interesting in California? California. 89% of California voters do not want kids chemically and surgically mutilated. 89%. And yet it still continues to happen and people who promote it continue to get elected. But they would never, ever game the election system. Because if they did, the media would report it. They would tell us. They would never hide such a thing. Even though I've been told by conservative radio hosts with national shows, or they used to have national shows, I've heard conservative hosts say, oh, they'd hide it. If they knew the election had been rigged, they would hide it. Because we can't have people going around believing the election was rigged, even though they were rigged. There is a dynamic we'll talk about in the next segment, and it's a dynamic born of fear of having. I had this great vision this morning during my discipleship group church. This great vision of people frustrated about what they haven't built on this earth. Maybe they've spent their time in mission work, far more than I have, by the way. I'm talking about actual missionaries. Sometimes facing that, my gosh, my retirement, I don't have a second home. I don't have a vacation place. My kids don't have. And I had just this great image of men and women like that, sometimes forgetting that they've built mansions in heaven. Well, or they've been given one by the Lord. Mansions with many rooms. So I want to talk about being in the world and not of it, and go back to this poll about how high earners view us and what they're willing to do to us just to make sure that we all do the right thing as defined by them. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. All the music on the show, by the way, is all done by bands who proclaim the Lord Jesus as their Savior. It's so good that there are young people who are doing that. And I guess most of the bands contain young people, but everyone's young to me. I sound like my grandpa sometimes. You ever do that? You ever say, well, I have become my grandpa. I got up the other day at 3:30 in the morning. No, pardon me, 2:30 in the morning. And went straight into work, I'm ashamed to say. Not into the Word of God. I spent some prayer time. Some very serious prayer time in bed. And then had to get straight into work. And I remember just thinking, my grandpa's an insane man for getting up early. Sometimes we just do this. I hope I don't sound like my grandpa when I start talking about the elites. There are people who the world has taught, that the world teaches them, you are the elite. And having spent time around people like that, and perhaps, I know, I don't think I ever gave in to that particular sin. Back in the days of raising money in Silicon Valley and doing all that, and I don't think I ever gave in to that. God forgive me if I did. That I perceive in them this incredible fear of losing what they have. And I think it's because their souls know it's temporal. Here's why I'm talking about this, is there is a survey. I've been pondering this survey a lot. It's released by an organization called the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And by that, I assume they mean economic prosperity. So they polled members of America's 1%. And by that, they mean people who have an income of annual income of $150,000 and have a postgraduate degree. That's three times as much money as the average American earns. It's not the 1% in terms of people who are economically absolutely independent, never need work again, but you could say it's 1% income. 77% of these people who were asked to fight climate change, would you favor or oppose the strict rationing of gas, meat, and electricity? They said they would favor such a policy, 77% of them, if they went to an Ivy League institution, that rose to 89%. So let's break this down. Ivy League grads earning $150,000 a year or more believe that rationing electricity will save us from climate change. Wait a minute. We're being told electricity will save us from climate change. They also believe that strict rationing of meat will save us from climate change. And yet, I'm going to bet, because I know the numbers, people of this income strata with this education are very likely to have pets. How do I know this? Because I looked at the data into who buys pet insurance. Yeah, you can buy insurance for your pets. And sometimes, like, maybe that makes sense. Want to know who they target? People with postgraduate degrees earning over 150 grand a year. That's who they target. Why am I connecting pets and meats? Well, because dogs, cats, or by another phrase, meat. I don't think of them that way. I love my animals. But if you're this concerned about climate change, you should be concerned that your dog breathes. Your dog in its lifetime will produce more carbon dioxide than your car by a long shot, even if you drive a V12. Well, unless you drive your V12 24 hours a day. Your dog breathes 24 hours a day. You might drive your car on average about 47 minutes a day. Unless you live in California, then it's you drive it 6 days per day, just given the traffic. So they're willing to do a lot to us. In addition, these same people, earning over 150 grand a year and having postgraduate degrees, 69% of them want an immediate ban on gas stoves, while 81% want gas-powered vehicles outlawed. Oh, by the way, what's going to drive your new stove to your house that they forced you to get? It's going to be an electric truck, right? Wait a minute. Well, I just read that they want to have strict rationing on electricity to save us from climate change, but now they want to have electric stoves put in houses, not gas stoves, because gas stoves, of course, are killing everybody. It's not just energy issues, economic issues. 67% of these same people believe that teachers should decide what children are taught, compared to 26% who think parents should decide. Isn't there a phrase for government schools that most people use? Isn't it public schools? That the public helps decide? Oh, here's the key figure. 74% of these people earning over 150 grand a year with postgraduate degrees say their finances are getting better. Well, just 20% say the general public says the same. 84% also approve of the job Joe Biden is doing for president. Well, there's a view. And here's my analysis of it, having spent time around folks like this, in not short bursts, by the way, for most of my career. They know what they have is temporal. Not cognitively, not in their brains, but their souls know. They're grasping. What do they have? Power. Over whom? Us. Influence. Some of us listening to this, maybe given AFR, maybe a majority of us are in that income strata. Maybe not. It's a huge, huge network. But we don't think of ourselves as powerful, do we? Because we know the only true power comes through God. I think if you went the through line, and went and examined these people. In fact, you could do a cross-tribe analysis of this pretty easily. The higher you are up in a post-grad school, the less likely you are to believe in the saving nature of Jesus Christ, the more likely you are to believe that all religions are the same. That's all true to fact. So what are they afraid of? Losing control of who? Of us. But wait, why do they feel they should control us? Because someone has to. Absent God, I mean, who's going to control these miscreant low wage earners? So we see this. In the state of California, or what I refer to as a separate country, there's now a bill to control how fast you are ever allowed to drive, ever allowed to drive. They intend by 2025 to assure that every single car in California has a speed governor installed. Now, this is going to be made easier because in the separate country of California, they've demanded. And by the way, 17 other states have to do this. No, this is true. 17 other states signed a climate suicide pact with California. 2025, they want all new cars to be electric. Also by 2025, they want all cars to have a speed governor installed that would never let you go 10 miles an hour above the speed limit, ever. Ever. Even if it's an issue of safety. How could it be an issue of safety? Well, if you need to get around a car crash, as has happened to me multiple times, cars crashing next to you, sometimes the safest way out of that is accelerating out of it. Sometimes getting out of a dangerous situation where you see someone who's swerving in the road. Sometimes the best thing to do is to get away from that person. But no, they intend to install these in your car. Oh, incidentally, the guy who's pushing this, you know, he's had an interesting career in California. He wants to control how fast you drive. You know what else he did? He got a bill passed into law that makes it easier for men, perhaps like him, to inflict their sexual desires upon the bodies of boys. No, I'm not being hyperbolic. Yes, that's a law. Made it easier for men to have sex with boys. Why? Well, as Scott Wiener, state senator, explained, in the gay community, that's very important. Sometimes it's very, very important that boys get to have sex with men. Why? Well, it's an issue of learning how to be gay. Well, this is effectively his point. So on that topic, he wants complete freedom for men, perhaps men like him. He also wants complete freedom for schools to hide kids who begin to call themselves by a different gender or a different name. But in terms of you being able to go 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, no, can't have that. So he is no doubt part of this income strata, postgraduate degree we've been talking about, who are willing to do a lot of things to us to just make sure that we do the things that we should do as determined by them. Because after all, there's no one else who can determine it. There's no God in their minds, in so many of their minds. It extends beyond this poll and it goes into the world of Hollywood, where I got to spend some time. You'll hear the top of the show, by the way. The announcer who introduces the show says that I observe one problem and one solution. That's why we do the show. I don't know that I've ever explained that. The one problem is sin. The one solution is to abide in Christ. That's the one problem, one solution scenario. I don't know that Stephen Colbert follows Jesus. In fact, I'm actually sure he doesn't. And yet, he's part of this Hollywood system. You speak of elites. Right? There really is an economic elite and a social elite. If you are a Stephen Colbert, you probably do not wait for seats in restaurants. That's what A-listers get. There are, in Hollywood and New York, there's always a seat for a VIP, if you're in the right places, the expensive places. So Stephen Colbert, undoubtedly an elite, has strange notions about protest against teaching kids America is uniquely awful, racist, and always wrong.
Well, at a time when there's a lot of resistance to diversity programs,
yeah,
and that's turned into a bit of a political cudgel, and there's also a resistance to teaching in our schools American history and American racial history, what do you think people get wrong about race and identity in America?
Well, on the teaching of history, I think they get wrong the idea that we can outrun our history. I don't think we can. I don't think we should. I think diversity is sort of a word that has become weaponized in some ways. And what people get wrong is that diversity is not an ugly thing. Diversity is one of the beautiful things about America. That.
Okay, so number one, they're not talking about diversity. They're talking about colors, melanin levels. They don't want any diversity. Diversity means diversity of ideas, backgrounds, how you gained your knowledge, etc. But there is no effort to stop the history, the teaching of history, or outrunning it. But they're of the opinion that they can, in fact, change history. The history of America is this. It was a nation created in a time where slavery was normalized. It was also the second of the great nations to outlaw it, through a very, very bloody battle, England being the first. It was also the first nation ever founded upon the fact that because we're created by God, we have certain rights, such as the right to have freedom of speech and to be treated equally. Diversity is no longer being used as a cudgel by the right. I don't know that's ever been the case. It is a cudgel. Did you read about the FAA? Federal Aviation Administration, no doubt elites. After all, in Washington, D.C., the average income is about 150 grand per year, about three times what the taxpayers earn. They created secret codes so that black applicants could have their resumes rise to the top. How? Well, one of the secret codes was to have a failing grade in science. Why would you put a failing grade in science on a resume to get a job at the FAA? Because it's just that. It's a code. So have your resume rise to the top. In the minds of people who the world has shown are elites, they've got to do something to make us do the right thing. After all, we can't go around thinking there's no Jew, no Greek, no servant, no master, because that's what that guy Jesus taught. And after all, well, wasn't he white? Well, no, he wasn't. In fact, he was a Jewish man. Oh, that's the issue. So the elites, they have these notions. We've got to force them to do something. The elites on Morning Joe have rediscovered a love of cheap fossil fuels, but only until after the election.
Oh, there are things
they're killing Americans.
There's nothing new about the attack that happened the other day.
And that's the problem. There's nothing new with Iran attacking and killing Americans. I'm just wondering what would the Biden administration's problem be with going in and taking out some of their oil infrastructure and just sending the message, you know, it keep going, it gets a lot worse.
Higher gas prices?
I don't care. Dead Americans?
I think that, I mean, I think, you know, well, Richard has laid out some of the possible consequences, but anytime you're messing, anytime you're doing anything that's going to mess with oil markets, mm-hmm. higher gas prices are can be an existential threat to a presidency.
To a presidency, but not to how people live. Same people who want your gas cars banned or curtailed, strict rationing, right now, well, don't bomb Iran's oil fields. That could disrupt the presidential election. Oh, and not to mention this. That is the same show that warned us time and time and time again. Don't you know that Donald Trump is literally Hitler working for Putin? He's going to get us into a war with Iran and start a nuclear war and destroy our economy. There's something about relying only on the world for your comfort, relying only on what the world has shown you, that makes you frail and bitter and afraid. We come back, we'll talk about a new thing Elon Musk has shoved into the brain of a human being. No, for real. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Satan rarely comes out and says, hey, it's me, Mr. Evil. Hey, it's me here to con you into internal damnation and separation from God. Rarely, he has a technique of hiding evil within good. It's clever. Limited bag of tricks. He can depress, distract, distort. But he can't create, invent, he can't love, he can't feel charity. These are things he can't have because he divorced himself from God, so has no access to the fruit of the Spirit or to inventiveness. But man, he's good at those three or four things he does because he's been doing it forever. Likewise, with so many medical inventions, Elon Musk, in his Neuralink program, has installed the first brain implant in a human being. And this is being done to help someone who is paralyzed, and no doubt I would do that maybe as well if I was paralyzed and couldn't move, except I don't think I would. See, I've thought about this a bunch because these implants have been a topic of conversation for a very, very long time in, well, tech land. Because there's been a belief for years that you could have all of the world's knowledge right in your brain, that you'd never need to read a book, that you'd simply access the database. You could speak all languages. You'd never need to learn them. In other words, you'd never need to live. You would just have it fed to you. So I don't think I would do that. Then again, I've never been paralyzed. I don't know what that's like. So this is from CNBC. Elon Musk, neurotech startup Neuralink, has implanted its device in a human being for the first time on Sunday. We're told the patient is recovering well, although that's what we're told. And it's developing a brain implant that helps patients with severe paralysis and control external technologies using only neural signals. So you're paralyzed, but you can control things like your computer, your television set, your stove, etc. Not yet restoring movement, but restoring some functionality. So in that case, I don't think I'm that interested in getting this in my mind. Here's the other reason I won't, is because Satan likes to hide evil in good. One of the big polluting factors in people who arrive at sort of elite status, we've been talking about people who the world is telling them, you're an elite, is they get to a point where because we can, we should. Because we can, we should. This is axiomatic in the medical sphere. And we talk so often here, at least I do, because I'm obsessed with keeping alive the fact that the COVID injections are deadly. And I think personally, we're designed to be deadly, but that's me. And gosh knows I'm a terrible extremist. I talk about this because it was, we can, so we should. We can blow up the existing system. And so they literally said, let's blow it up because we can. When we can, so we should becomes commonplace, you end up with many, many of the abuses that we see today, such as this. We can produce antidepressants that are not only black box, we don't know if they work, but they're addictive. So we should. Nation, our nation, most successful economically in history, is one of the few nations with a decreasing lifespan. The increasingly bad health. So this Neuralink that Elon Musk has implanted, I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time imagining where this is going to go, because we know where this is going to go. If we can control the thoughts of people, why wouldn't we? If we can, we should. I think about the mark of the beast. I'm not saying this is it, but dang, that would be clever. Wouldn't that be clever? You can neither buy nor sell without it. Wouldn't that be clever if it was a neural implant? Oh gosh, it's fever swamp stuff. Fever swamp. No, they would never do that. Just like they would never create a system to go around elected governments, even in blue states like California, where 89% of the people do not want children mutilated sexually and chemically, and yet they're doing it. But they would never do that. They would never propose legislation in the state of Maryland to make it legal to starve a little baby of food and water, or food and a liquid, and yet they tried it. They would never, ever be proponents of allowing so-called doctors to end the life of children who are 9 months old, so long as their toe is still inside the mother's body, and yet they have and they do. But they would never ever take something like a neural implant and use it to control our thoughts, because that would be like, well, wrong. But who says? Well, I think God said, and that the way he made our minds. I think he wrote the code in our minds, and I prefer God's code. How about you? On the Disciples' View, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples' View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
The Tower of Babbling is usually three sound bites that can tend to put meat on my theory that God does place these supposedly wise people on high for us to see how great human wisdom is. The White House spokeslier can always be counted on to, well, you know, spokeslie.
The science is clear. Climate change is the existential threat of our times.
Okay, do I need to provide commentary, or can you do that on your own? I think you can. Why belabor it? You've already done it mentally. Second clip in today's Tower Babbling. When a ruler ignores God, all his people are going to be deceptive. And whoever runs Joe Biden is proving that true. This is Energy Secretary Granholm lying, and audio of then-candidate Biden proving she lied.
He said, read my lips. We will put fossil fuels out of business.
I did not hear him say that.
I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate.
If you remember that video of then-candidate Biden in 2019, he also made his way towards the young woman, 18 or 19 years old, looked like, and shook her hands, leaning into her, probably just to be friendly. Last audio bite in today's Tower Babbling. Pharma is one of the entities running Joe Biden. And here's a servant of pharma, so-called Dr. Sibda Gallagher, telling kids it's a good idea to become eunuchs.
A group of gender diverse individuals who haven't been very visible are eunuchs. And there is an entire chapter devoted to these folks in the most recent version of the WPATH standards of care, WPATH's World Professional Association of Transgender Health. And so basically, a eunuch is somebody who's assigned male at birth but may not be comfortable with the masculine features and may also benefit from gender affirmation care, which could mean orchiectomy in some patients. Now, we have to be very careful because we know that if we just take away sex hormones completely, patients can have problems with osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease. So usually the patient will supplement on either low dose testosterone or low dose estrogen, and it requires specialized care. But sometimes this is an important part of gender affirmation surgery for this group of patients.
So let's de-scramble what she's saying, and let me, at the risk of being blunt, and if you're listening with young people, I'll do my very, very best to do this in a horrible way. What that so-called doctor is suggesting that people have done, although carefully, mind you, is to remove the male genitalia completely and to replace it with nothing. A place through which you urinate. That's as much as I'll say. You can fill in the details. Nebuchadnezzar had to capture people, send an army out to make eunuchs. Not so. In this fallen world, it's simply lies like that from a so-called doctor. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We wrap up the show often with a personal observation. Sometimes the history, something that I remember from the history of my life, and this came to me this morning because I was in my discipleship group led by my senior pastor at my church, and he used a wrestling metaphor. It's a funny thing. You know, you've probably heard of Real Life Ministries, God's decided to grow it for whatever reason to kind of national prominence, and it's a church with a lot of wrestlers. Senior Pastor Jim was just about on the Olympic team for wrestling, but God had different plans. So he uses wrestling metaphors from time to time. I want to use one, and then I want to cross it over into, gosh, I wish I had at that time known about the power of God's word. So when I was in high school, I probably should have made plans to wrestle in college instead of playing my small college football because I was never big enough frame and frankly never fast enough to make a big play in college football. But I was a good wrestler. I was actually a really good wrestler, state contender. And if I believed in myself, probably could have been a state champ. And the reason I say that is not glory days like Bruce Springsteen. It's just because of a story like this. My wrestling coach, my senior wrestling coach, the head coach, was maybe not a sociopath, but close to it. The assistant coaches were dear men, and I had an opportunity to interact with a temporary assistant coach who went on to great fame in wrestling, Coach Owen, from a wrestling family, by the way. And he took me under his wing prior to a match I had against the returning state champ. And what he said at that time was, "I want you to wrestle with me every week. Every day at practice, rather. Every single day. I want you to wrestle." By the way, I said Coach Owen, I meant Coach Sigworth. Owen is a fantastic wrestling family, but no, it was Coach Sigworth. So Coach Sig was half my size, but he was a fantastic college wrestler, champion many times over. So that was it. I wrestled Coach Sig that entire week, and he worked me. And he worked me on two or three core moves he was going to have me employ against this returning state champ. But he did something else. When I showed up for practice the first day, and I wrestled him all day, he came to me and said, "Do you have a Walkman?" Remember Walkman? They would play cassette tapes and later CDs as you walked around. I did. I had a cassette Walkman. He had recorded rock music for me at his home. And over every song, Coach Sig was screaming in the background, the chump's going down, the chump's going down, the chump's going down. Right behind the music, he goes, you will wear this all day, every day. You'll wear it before practice and after practice. And every so often as we were wrestling, he kept saying, remember, the chump is going down. He worked me on two or three key moves. He programmed me. He programmed my mind to believe. I didn't think I could beat that guy when I started wrestling Sig, but as the week went on, Sig said, you're getting so good at these moves. That's so much faster. Look how fast you are. Look at how you flow. Look at this chain wrestling you're doing. The chump is really going down. So when I stepped onto the mat at this school, it was a city school. We came from the urban area. No, get that wrong. We're the urban school. We came from the rural area. And they were chanting this guy's name, and he was legitimately a scary wrestler. One of the few African-American guys that I wrestled because of where I lived. It's just not a lot of black guys. When I took the mat and the match began, I could not believe it, but that single move, one of the three moves rather, that Coach Sig taught me, I pulled it. I took him down. His name was Paul. I took him down. And the place went silent. And then I did exactly as Coach Sig taught me. He went down, out of bounds. I was 2 points ahead. I sprinted back to the circle and waited for him. And I did the other move. And all of a sudden, everything changed. All of a sudden, I did believe that I could win, and I did. Now, after the match, Paul told me, that's not going to happen again. Interesting. If I'd known then that I could program the word of God into my mind, when I wrestled with the world, what kind of different decisions would I have made? What sort of different life decisions would have occurred? Temptations I gave into, I could have turned to the Word of God. And here I am in my mid-50s and only now programming my mind with the Word of God. So in life's daily wrestling matches, I can turn to the Lord Jesus and His Word, God's Word, to remind me. Don't be surprised when you face fiery trials. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we speak because we believe. Until the Lord decides you and I can speak again together, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your family. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.